Let's go to Haiti now, where one of the country's most dangerous criminal gangs is believed to be behind the kidnapping of 17 American and Canadian missionaries. The group, which includes children, is associated with an Ohio-based organization called Christian Aid Ministries. They were kidnapped in the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince after leaving an orphanage on Saturday. Haitian police say the gang believed responsible for the disappearance is known for mass kidnappings and ransoming religious groups. Jacqueline Charles is the Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald. Jacqueline, welcome to breakfast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Is there any new information on the whereabouts or the well-being of these kidnapped missionaries and these kids?
No, the only new information we have is that the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, they are in country in Haiti. They are in contact with the family. And we were also told today by the White House that President Biden was also briefed about this incident. But as far as any ransom demands or where the individuals are at, we do not have any new information yet about that.
And any clues on those ransom demands from those who were kidnapped? I mean, what do we know about these 17 people and what would likely the gang want to be extracting for their release?
Well, you know, they are part of the Mennonite community in Haiti that has basically been providing a number of charitable assistance to the population. This is the second time in months that this community has been a victim of Haiti's insecurity. There was a plane crash in June where two of them were killed because they could not travel by road because of another armed gang that had basically taken over the roadway in the southern entrance of the capital. You know, as far as what these gangs ask for, it varies. I mean, one of the MO of this particular gang is that it kidnaps busloads, van loads. And usually when it asks for a ransom demand, it's asking for the van load as opposed to an individual. I mean, we've seen everything from hundreds of thousands of dollars, or a gang can ask for $1 million U.S. You know, the goal here is for the family members have to negotiate down to some price that they can afford, that's doable. And that's not always possible.
No, sure. Tell us a bit more about the gang that police believe is beside this. This is the gang you're talking about who do these en masse kidnappings. They're called 400 Mawozo. Is that how I say it? Who are they?
Yes.
And what do they want this money for? Is this targeted for a reason? What's going on?
So Katsa Mawozo, 400 Mawozo, is one of the notorious gangs in Haiti. They control the eastern part of Port-au-Prince, which leads to the border with the Dominican Republic. Like other gangs, you know, they are basically in a profiteering. This is a racket. They, you know, kidnap individuals. They ransom them. With this money, they buy arms. They buy ammunition. There is an arms embargo in Haiti. Despite that, though, these gangs are heavily armed. And again, you know, they don't strike every single day. I mean, you know, you can have a week, everything is calm. And then you have a week where it's days, the gang is out and you hear that, you know, individuals have been kidnapped.
So what is going on in the capital? Some suggest that the gangs are controlling half of the capital, half of Port-au-Prince. What's caused this lawlessness?
So there has been a proliferation of gang violence in Haiti in the last couple of years. We're dealing with a country where the president was assassinated on the 7th of July. The police force itself has been weak, not able to even protect their own president. You have a earthquake on August 14th at the Southern Peninsula. Today, the UN says that the insecurity, the gang violence, as well as kidnappings were impeding its ability to respond to the humanitarian needs that are there. You have an interim government that's in place, but it itself is under pressure by members of civil society that basically said, we want a three-year transition. We want to take charge of the country because you're not doing your job. And today there was a general strike where there was basically a work stoppage throughout the country. And that was led by the transport sector because they have really been feeling the brunt of the increased gang violence and also the kidnapping. Some bus drivers have been kidnapped and held for ransom. They have been locked out of the capital because of the gang violence. They can't pass. And since June, on the southern edge of the capital, at least 19,000 Haitians have been forcefully displaced from their homes because of intergang violence.
That's a complete lawlessness. What's going to change this? As you say, the assassination of the president only happened in July, and this has been moving this way for some months. What's going to change this, in your view?
Well, there's pressure on the Biden administration. You know, the U.S. is a huge supporter of, you know, of Haiti. Haitians could say that, you know, decisions that they have taken has also propelled us. They are also a backer of the Haitian National Police Force, which today is dealing with its own internal crisis. And they are basically demanding that the U.S. step up and provide some sort of assistance. But Haitians are divided. They are united and they agree that the status quo cannot stand, but they are very much divided on the solutions, and all of the possible solutions all carry challenges, from a return of the United Nations peacekeeping mission, which left in 2019, to U.S. military intervention, which the White House itself has said no way, to using U.S. special forces to train the police force, or, you know, some other hybrid, you know, response. I mean, today you have a country that is facing lawlessness, that if there is nothing that is done, the situation is just going to further deteriorate. Haitians today are afraid to leave their homes for fear that they could become the next victim of a kidnapping, or even worse, of a killing.
It's also a country where people are fearful to leave their home, but, you know, many people's lives have been affected dramatically over the last few years by some major natural disasters, with earthquakes and floods. Is there a sense that the Haitians themselves are getting enough support from the global community, and do they want that?
Well, they do want that support, but there is a sense in terms of Haiti fatigue, right?
Yep.
And there's a sense that the global community is always forcing solutions down the Haitian population's throat, or Haiti itself, and that Haitians have not been able to lead in their own solution. So this is sort of the political turmoil that you have in the backdrop of all of this, where you have sort of the struggle that's going on, where you've had an international community that is saying, we want elections and we want elections now. And you now have a sector of the Haitian society that is saying, no, we need to get our house in order before we go to elections. We need to have a transition. But everybody agrees the security climate is one today where you really cannot hold elections, and you really need to address the insecurity that is widespread in this country.
Yeah. Just finally, Jacqueline, then back to the kidnapping of these 17 missionaries, which includes 5 children, I think. Is there a sense that, you know, this will end well and safely for them, that it'll just depend on the price? And who's negotiating that in real terms?
Yeah, this is a frightening experience, but in most of the cases, you know, people are usually, you know, they're usually freed. It's just a question of how much does it end up costing them, you know? And basically what we do know is that the families have been contacted, and the way this usually will work is that the family will be in contact with the kidnappers, and they would be the ones leading the negotiations in terms of where, you know, they end up. But I have to tell you, you have to have a very strong stomach to do this, because not everybody can take the idea of a loved one either being tortured,
yeah,
or the kidnapper on the other end hanging the phone up and not calling for a day or two.
No, this is business really for experienced negotiators, you'd think. Jacqueline, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Jacqueline Charles is the Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald.